Welcome back, everybody. Today is day five of the novena, and we are speaking about the gift of piety.
Thank you for joining us once again. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your comments on the Facebook group and on the YouTube channel. And we are going to share with you what stood out to us and why from, again, Father Fernandez's book, In Conversation with God.
Piety enables us to appreciate our divine filiation. Divine filiation is an effect of the gift of piety that causes us to relate to God with tenderness and affection of a good son towards his father, and to relate to the rest of mankind as brothers of the same family.
So the gift of piety. So the gift of piety is not having this sort of emotional disposition and also going around pretending we're all holy and pious. It's about our relationship with God and how this relationship with God then affects how we treat other people. Mm-hmm. And so I think the person who had perfected the gift of piety is obviously Jesus. And so I was thinking about his life, and when can we really see that sail rising up into the air? And I thought about the time of the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. And this is the darkest moment in Jesus's earthly life. Think about what he's going through and place yourself in his position. He's been betrayed by a good friend. He's been arrested. His other good friends have run out on him. He's been accused of crimes he did not commit. He's accused of blasphemy. He's condemned to death. He's whipped and he's forced to carry the instrument of his own execution. He's publicly shamed. He's got nails driven to his body, pinned to the cross, hoisted up into the air, naked for all to see. And in that position of vulnerability, he's mocked, he's made fun of. And in the midst of all this, if you were Jesus, who would you turn to and what would you think of? Where is God in all this? Yet here we have Jesus in his last sentence saying what? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. See, for Jesus to be able to say Father, he had to know he was a son. And here we have the operation of the gift of piety in Jesus' mm-hmm. life, because he knew he was the beloved Son of God that allowed him to cry out, Father, I am yours. It's done. It's finished. So do you find yourself pinned to a cross? Do you find yourself in situations of great darkness? And do you find yourself maybe in difficulty crying out, Father, into your hands, I commit my life, thy will be done? If you do, then ask for the gift of piety to be able to trust the love of your heavenly Father in the midst of a cross.
All our piety is nourished by this fact. We are children of God, and the Holy Spirit, through the gift of piety, teaches us and facilitates for us this trusting relationship of a son with his father.
So I was just thinking about our experience of raising six children, baby number seven on the way. And I want to be a good father. I don't want to be a mediocre father. Wouldn't that be the worst thing on my gravestone, Ken? A mediocre father.
I think they would write that.
But this is something I don't want to fail in. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fail in my fatherhood. And I think this gift of piety really can be practical in our families, because it teaches us to relate to God the Father and to trust in him as children. In order to be a good earthly father, we have to first know that we are a son. Because good fathers come from being good sons. And so I have to know that I'm the beloved son of our Heavenly Father. And to do this, I need this gift of piety. And that's going to directly affect, I think, my fatherhood in this household. Mm-hmm. Because how can I be a good father if I've never been a good son?
This filial disposition of the gift of piety is seen also in our readiness to ask again and again, like needy children, until we are granted what we want. I just think I know that experience firsthand. A child keeps asking and asking and asking, and until you firmly say no or stop asking, they usually don't. And sometimes they will still continue asking.
And sometimes that persistence wins them what they want.
Yes. And it's interesting because we did a Lenten series based on this, the writings of Father Fernandez from In Conversations with God. And he brought up the same point about how God the Father desires us to continue to ask to the point of in importunity, which means to the point of annoyance.
And in fact, that word importunity is from St. Alphonsus Liguori, which we were borrowing that phrase from. We were using kind of both those messages at that time. And it's like this constant asking, mm-hmm. asking. Every parent knows that. And it wears on you after a while.
Right. But my question is, why does God want us to ask him and ask him and ask him to the point of annoyance? Does he get tired of that?
I don't think God gets annoyed one way because he doesn't have any perfections. I think it has
imperfections.
Thank you. It has more to do with, I think, what that does to us. The persistent asking of God again and again, what does that do to you? Maybe it refines what you're asking for. Maybe you realize, oh, the way I was asking isn't the right way to ask. Mm-hmm. Maybe it develops a greater virtue of humility. Mm-hmm. Maybe that asking develops perseverance. You keep on going again and again and again. Because when God asks us to do something, it's never for his benefit. So if he's requesting us to ask, seek, knock, this persistence with him, we have to ask, well, why? And what does that persistence do to us?
Right.
So this is just off the top of my head, but the persistent asking is definitely for our benefit and not for God's.
Right. And it makes us remember that we are completely dependent on him.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And this gift of piety is important in this because it is raising this sail. And what does the sail do? It easily moves us. Mm-hmm. To do something that is right. And so in this case, it easily moves us to persistently ask God and again and again. So if you've got a request in your life and it's a concern and you've asked God once, don't stop at once.
No. I know people who pray novena after novena after novena after novena for the same intention.
Yes.
And that persistence is beautiful.
Yeah, and that's what God wants. We should always say, thy will be done too. Thy will be done. But don't stop asking.
And I think it also goes to show, like, don't ever lose hope. Like, maybe you have a loved one or someone that has fallen away from the church or who has gotten into, like, a really bad circle of friends or, you know, your own children that have gone astray. We can't ever lose hope that we need to continuously persist in our prayer for them. The virtue of piety, which is perfected by this gift, inclines us also to render honor and reverence to persons in positions of lawful authority, in the first place, our parents.
So do you reverence your father? Do you have reverence for your mother? And sometimes if we've come from difficult backgrounds, that's a really difficult thing to consider. But you know, the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, is such. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. But we don't honor sometimes the bad choices they've made or reverence those choices. But there's always something about our fathers and our mothers, no matter how bad they may have been, that we can still reverence them. Think about just simply the fact of life. If you don't have a good relationship with your earthly father, just consider this. Without him, you don't exist. And that fact alone should move you to reverence him for giving you the gift of life. And that's right. And that's just to honor our Father this way. And I was thinking about this in my prayer this morning. If one hates their father, I don't know if they could have a good self-worth because they're hating the very source of their life. So they're hating part of themselves. So we got to really check our hearts and say, do we honor our fathers? Do we honor our mothers? And if not, that is going to directly affect, I believe, our self-worth.
You're not condoning the behavior or, you know, even maybe some fathers have been completely absent from your life. Maybe you don't even know your father. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that we can't forgive them for the failings that they've done. And with a gift of piety, we can still honor the fact that they are our biological father.
Yeah, so we can hate a choice, but we can't hate the person. And that's an important distinction. Mm-hmm. And if we start hating our fathers, that's going to translate into some sort of self-hatred.
Moved by the Holy Spirit, Christians read Holy Scripture with love and veneration because it is, as it were, a letter which our Heavenly Father sends us In the sacred books, the Father who is in heaven meets his children with great love and speaks with them. It's important, you know, when we are dealing with things that are holy, whether it's scripture or, you know, the sacraments, it's important to have a sense of respect for those things. You know, even when we read scripture, because God wants to speak to us, like it says, like it's a love letter from the Father to us. And so to not just like read through it hastily, I've done this many, many times, but God is always wanting to tell us something through it. So anyway.
So the gifts, remember, perfect the virtues. And one of the virtues that's connected to the gift of piety is the virtue of justice. Mm-hmm. Justice is giving somebody what is due. And under the cardinal virtue of justice, we have other little virtues, a little bit sub-virtues, and one of them is the virtue of religion and also the virtue of piety. And so the gift of piety helps perfect the virtue of religion and also the virtue of piety. So it teaches us right worship, helps us move to right worship of God. So, for example, how could this be active in our life? Well, if somebody says, wakes up on Sunday morning and says, I'm just going to pray at home. I don't need to go to Mass. Well, it's great that they pray. However, it's also important to pray correctly. And one way that we pray correctly on Sunday is by going to Mass. Mm-hmm. So praying correctly in one way is just as important as praying. Because if we want to give God what is due to him, we have to go to Mass. And the gift of piety, that sail that's raised up when the wind of the Holy Spirit takes us, mm-hmm. moves us easily and promptly and quickly to Mass, where we recognize this is right, this is just, and we want to do this to glorify and honor God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like there's still a lot of people who haven't returned to the sacraments since things have opened up, and it feels like things have opened up for a while here in Canada, and I still feel like there's people who haven't returned. And I guess my question for them is, where are you? Why haven't you come back? You're missing out on the most beautiful, you know, opportunity to receive your Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity.
And I just want to recognize, I know there's some of you that are homebound that for just reasons you can't attend Mass. So mm-hmm. there's exceptions to this, obviously. But for those who are able and they have no reason not to go to Mass.
It's time.
And it's mortal sin if we don't. And if we're in mortal sin, we cannot have the gifts of the Spirit alive in our life. So with that, I think we'll wrap up there, right?
We'll end on that note.
Hey, thanks for watching. Please share with us below what stood out to you and why. And remember to pray for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the prayer here at the end. And it continues on if you wanted that next video on the Chaplet of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you tomorrow.